All right, guys, welcome to Rookies Reloaded. This is our first episode here in Fox Sports Charlotte. We're joined by Connor, Les, and Mackie. We're all rookies here except for Les. He's been in this for a while. We're excited to start this podcast, though. We got some great topics today. I think we're just going to go for a little bit and,
see where it goes. I'm thankful I can finally get all you guys in here, man.
Yeah.
I'm thankful, man.
I'm excited about this.
Les has been coming on the show every time one of us has to miss it for other engagements of whether we're working.
Exactly. All my white faces in the right places. It's good to see you guys all together again, man. Ebony and Avery. A lot of Avery. Just a dash of Ebony, but it's all right.
No, I'm excited to be out here. I'm happy to get more content on the website. I'm happy to do something outside of our weekend show, which is weekend mornings from 10 to 11, called The Rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. It's pretty interesting. I'm happy to finally be in the studio with all of you again, because like you said, Les, it seems like it's been a while since I've been in the studio with Bernie and Connor at the same time.
Because exactly.
Connor's been busy on the weekends. I'm free. Then I've been busy on the weekends. Connor's free. So like you said, Ebony and Ivory.
That's right.
That should be the name of the podcast.
Yeah, it's just a dash of pepper. You know what I'm talking about? A whole lot of salt. Just a dash of pepper.
So Les sent some topics to us yesterday, and I think the one that we should probably start off on is DJ Moore.
Okay.
Mackie takes a very very solid stance, and so does Les. So I'm going to let you guys just duke it out, and we'll talk about me and Connor's opinions after you guys kind of set the stage. So what do you think, Mac?
Well, what's the question that Les posed in the chat?
Is DJ Moore a building block?
Is DJ Moore a building Panthers? Block?
Hey, man, hold on, man. I've worked hard on these damn questions.
All right, here, I got you right here,
thank you so much. Thank you.
He said, with the success of CMC and DJ Moore this season as a tandem, do you view them as key building blocks for the future Carolina Panthers? And the reason this question arose was because a stat came across my Twitter feed, and it said McCaffrey and Moore have combined for 3,037 scrimmage yards. That is the most by any running back and wide receiver duo in the NFL this year. It's also the most by any running back or wide receiver duo through Week 14 since 2000, when please correct me if I say these wrong. Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison combined for 3,051.
That's another great Miami stud.
And so we were talking. I sent the stats to everybody, and Les said it's empty stats. It's empty calories. And with me, if you're talking about building blocks, especially with a second-year wide receiver in DJ Moore, I'm going to focus on Moore because everybody knows Christian McCaffrey is probably the main building block on this team. With the second-year receiver with DJ Moore, he is going through the ranks, in my opinion, as a number one receiver for the Carolina Panthers. He's definitely the first number one receiver for the Panthers since 2014, stats-wise, and I think just opinion-wise for Panther fans. And also, DJ Moore currently ranks fourth in the NFL in receiving yards with 1,061 yards. He has 79 catches this year. That's eighth in the league. And so when I look at these stats, I think DJ Moore has proven himself to be a player that is worth keeping on the offensive roster, because he is putting out numbers. He is producing on the field. And all of this being done in his second year. Now, all of this is also pending on if he keeps up this transition through his next 2 years.
The thing I look at the most is lack of touchdowns. And I know we talk about this all the time. His ability to score is something that I need to see more of. He's only got four touchdowns this year. I don't know how many he had last year, maybe three or four.
He had five, I think.
Five, okay. So,
and two of those touchdowns were against the Saints, so they were in one game.
Right, so Les, I feel like, makes a good point. I hear what you're saying. I feel like DJ Moore, obviously, is the best receiver we've had since Steve Smith. I know Kelvin Benjamin had two great seasons. He did deal with the ACL, so that might have had something to do with him falling off so much. But, DJ Moore is the best receiver we've had since Steve Smith, I feel like.
See, like, to say stuff like that, the best guy that we've had since Steve Smith.
Well, we haven't had anybody, less than
exactly.
All fairness.
Exactly. Like, if he's the best compared to what? What is he the best compared to?
Right now, so Steve Smith left. Okay. And then we have Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess, Brett Burson, Kalen Clay. And who else? And right now, like Bernie said, this is the best out of all of those. So I'm not too eager to hop on that train to where it's, hey, let's see what we can get for
he's
him.
He's the best out of a bunch of sacks of potatoes.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
Right. That's what you compared him to.
But also,
nobody made a splash. You compare, like, okay. I call them empty stats. I call them empty stats because at those points, when you look at those guys, You're talking about a bunch of guys where none of them made a drastic impact. Like, I'll give you an example. Since Steve Smith, our most impactful receiver wasn't a guy that caught a lot of balls. Ted Ginn Jr. was probably our most impactful receiver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that took the top off of every defense. He's the guy that would run the unpopular routes. Like, everybody want to run a go, but he'd run a go. He'd run a deep wheel. He'd run a fade. He'd run a post. He'd run a post corner. He'd run routes that'll get you killed and routes that'll gas your legs. But that's a guy that takes the top off the defense. Like, I believe genuinely that DJ Moore is just the best because we have nobody else. Like, that tandem looks good because we only have two weapons. Like, mm-hmm. if Greg Olsen was as healthy, if Cam Newton was here, you don't know what the rapport looks like. He caught 5 touchdowns last year. Of course, you expect to see growth, but he hasn't had a lot of touchdowns this year. But when you see him not with Cam Newton and you see him with a guy that might not be starting next year, it's too many variables and empty moves that and moving parts that go along with him for me to say he's a building block of somebody that we'd even want to hold on to long term.
And right now, I think he's a building block out of everybody we have on the offense. Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore are the two to build around if we had to make that decision.
I'll give you McCaffrey.
But I want to let Connor talk real quick before I go on to my next point.
You got to look at it this way, Les. You see how bad Kyle Allen is.
Right.
If DJ Moore is as good as he is right now with a terrible quarterback, what do you think this kid could do if he's sitting in front of a Russell Wilson or a Drew Brees type quarterback?
I can't tell you because I don't know what type of rapport he'd have with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I genuinely don't. I think it matters. DK Metcalf is special because he came in hungry and dealt with it. I don't know what DJ Moore do with any other quarterback other than Kyle Allen and a hampered Cam Newton.
But that's why I'm saying I got to agree with Mackie over here.
Jesus.
Well, here, all right, I'm also going to say this. The last win, the Panthers have lost 6 of their last 7.
Right.
Their last win was against the Tennessee Titans. There was a play to where I looked at, and this is why I like DJ Moore less. Although he's not getting in the end zone, DJ Moore caught a pass around the 45-yard line into Titans territory. He broke one tackle, went 20 yards after contact, and got to the 25-yard line. The very next play, you had a safety shift over to DJ's Moore side, left the left field of the left side of the field wide open. Curtis Samuel touchdown right after that. So yes, he's not getting into the end zone, but on third down, when you see that slant, which seems like that's the only pass that Kyle Allen can connect to his receivers, is a slant across the middle of the field. DJ Moore is going to catch it. His biggest issue in his rookie season was fumbling. We saw that against Washington. He fumbled 3 times. They lost that game last year, and they lost this year, of course. But now he's been holding on to the ball. He had that one fumble early on against the Rams, the first game of the season.
Also against Tampa Bay.
But right now, I mean, he catches the ball. He gets yards. And with an offense that's being led by a quarterback who has 12 turnovers since week 7,
right,
who struggles to move down the field, it's a good sign. And that's all I'm saying. It's a good sign to look at DJ Moore that he can get down the field.
A building block is a piece that you can build around somebody that's foundational. I don't think I have the best mailman that I'd like to keep forever just because he keeps dropping the mail off and it don't fall on the ground. That's your job. Just because he catches balls, is he transcendent? Is he Calvin Johnson? No. Is he Julio Jones? No. Is he DeAndre Hopkins? No. He's not somebody that I can build around long term. I'd rather have Antonio Brown than DJ Moore with all the headaches, because if I get him to the field, he'll do something special. I'm still waiting on DJ Moore to do something special.
I get that.
In 2 years, you still haven't seen a flash of anything that's exemplary or above and beyond. Everything that he's doing thus far is things that you expect a wide receiver that's serviceable to be able to do. So I don't want to pay him long term. I don't have to hold on to him. I don't have to keep him just because I don't want to pay someone just for doing their job and nothing stands out about it.
Isn't that what the whole sports is, though? You pay people that do their job?
No. The guys that LeBron James does his job, but he's above and beyond.
Yeah.
I need people that's special. I need Greek freaks. I need KDs. I need Antonio Browns. I need Julio Joneses. I need special players. And if you're not special, why are you part of my long-term plans? Right. I can get a million ancillary players after I got Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman. If I need those three on my offense, DJ Moore is none of those three. He's Alvin Harper. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that I bring in after I have my foundational pieces. I don't sign him first.
And right now with Carolina, even if it seems like that this may be the best that Carolina can get, because we talked about this before the show, trial and error, is a DJ Moore who shows that he can produce,
right,
who shows that even though he's not doing anything crazy like getting 15 touchdowns a game. Right. Yeah, but he can catch the ball and move it downfield to give the ball to Christian McCaffrey, another building block, who leads the league in total touchdowns.
Right.
I think that's a factor in the DJ Moore's touchdown, because DJ Moore will get you down the field and into the inside the 20. And of course, the Panthers have struggled in the red zone lately. But then you give the ball to Christian McCaffrey, who can make magic happen.
Right.
So I'm not saying
he's special.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Now that is a building block
to where you said.
But and I'm not saying give DJ Moore a max contract and all that stuff. But if you can have a player that moves you down the field, and then you let Christian McCaffrey, the special player on your offense, do his magic right outside the end zone.
Trade him to a contender, somebody that's willing to pay for him with draft picks, because they need another piece. We are building a franchise.
We need
help with the whole program.
You're right.
Burn.
And I will say before we move on, I hear you, Mackie. You know, he gets you down the field.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to see in these past 4 or 5 weeks, we've struggled in the goal to go. I want to see DJ Moore get open. I want our offensive coordinator. Our offensive coordinator clearly doesn't have enough confidence to call a pass play, because McCaffrey is our only mm-hmm. weapon that's consistent.
And we see what Allen does when his first read isn't open.
It's true.
We will say that
he doesn't get through his first read.
Yeah.
Let's just be
his
honest.
Progressions are terrible.
There's just a lot of aspects on this offense that just goes into
offensive
a lot of
line.
Yeah, just
they
that
are
just
terrible.
Goes into the failure at the goal line.
Right. All right. So Panther talk. I think it went pretty well.
I'm a fan of DJ Moore. I want you to know I completely understand what you're saying. And I'm not saying I disagree with everything you're saying. You're opening my eyes.
No, that's what you're saying. You're saying
you're
diametrically opposed to what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to give you some good game around.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I did say I disagree with it, but like I think DJ Moore is a player that the Carolina Panthers organization should keep their eye on.
He's the only one. Burn, he's the only one we got.
All right, then let's go out and get somebody else. But if we don't get somebody else.
All right, let's open up the draft boards. We'll find some. It's another DJ. Do you think it's another DJ Moore in the draft this year?
Yeah. Do you think the Panthers are going to get him though?
There's a chance.
Do you think
we're not going to the playoffs? So yes.
Do you think the Panthers
will get
another wide receiver when their second year receiver just crossed 1,000 yards? Because that's a big stat for a receiver. That's all I'm saying.
If we don't go offensive line, I'm going to be really pissed.
I just think right now there's a whole lot more needs on this team.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. We have him for what? We have Moore for 4 years. Let's see what he can do in these next two.
All right, agree to disagree.
Agree, disagree. I respect it.
So if you guys missed it last night,
like
Devontae Graham, boy, oh boy, he's having a great season. I don't think anybody predicted this. I think if they knew it was going to happen, they obviously wouldn't have done a sign and trade with Terry Rozier. Mm-hmm. Devontae Graham is on another planet right now. And Les posed the question. I'll read it, you know, verbatim. With the success of the Hornets' younger roster members and one eye towards the future, is it time for the Hornets to go towards a complete rebuild and youth movement?
I think they've already kind of initiated it.
One more time for me?
I don't know.
Go ahead and read it again, Bernie. Just
okay.
That way.
With the success of the Hornets' younger roster members and one eye towards the future, is it time for the Hornets to go towards a complete rebuild and youth movement?
I think they're in the first stages of it. The first stages. I think a lot of people anticipated the season to be a rebuilding season, but although the Hornets lost Kemba, and they lost Lamb, who are the two leading scorers. You know, they picked up Terry Rozier, who has impressed me so far this year. I mean, he's averaging, what, 17, 18,
close to 18 points a game.
Devontae Graham is now averaging 20 after his career-high 40-point game last year. And also, there are some stars that left the East as well. And so I think it's catching a lot of people off guard that the Hornets, 2 months into the NBA season, are right outside the playoff picture.
They've won 10 games.
But that's what I'm saying. They won 10 games. A lot of people thought that they would have a worse record than the Bobcats, which I disagreed with.
Well, B-Note said they'd win 30 games,
I
and I
30.
Thought he was crazy.
I said 30.
I thought he was crazy.
I didn't see a drastic change from
I
last
said 25,
year to this
but...
year. But Devontae Graham, if there is a youth movement, he is going to be the leader of it. I mean, he started out the sixth man, and now he's starting, and now we're seeing what he's doing on the floor.
Yeah, if they're not looking to go towards a younger team, then what are they going to do this year? Like, what is their focus of this year, Mackie, just like you were saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they are being headlined by Devontae Graham, who's, what, 24 years old?
Yeah.
P.J. Washington, who's 21 years old. I mean, the youth is there. These kids are there. They just need to go in and they need to either trade for a big name or draft a big name in the coming first round, and then you'll have three solid starters moving in with Graham, Washington, and whoever you take this year.
Well, guys, let's cut it to brass tacks. And here it is. You're at a point now where you got guys on the roster that you can count on.
Mm-hmm. Can you name them out?
Yeah,
you think
count on P.J. Washington.
Yeah.
I can count on Devontae Graham, right? I can count on Miles Bridges.
Thank you.
I can count
yes.
on Miles Bridges because Miles Bridges is a defensive spark. He's very athletic. It's mm-hmm. a lot of energy there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can count on these guys. And he made a big shot made a big shot against Washington.
He really did.
He made a huge shot against the Washington Wizards. But here's the thing. We got Nicholas Batum. We have Bismack Biyombo. We have Zeller. We got so many guys on the roster that are guys that we can't count on. And they're guys that, when I say going towards a rebuild, the best time to be bad is right now while these guys are young, because once they hit their primes, you got to be able to hit the ground running. And you want to be successful with these guys. So you at a point where now you can start dumping some salaries, dumping some contracts, getting some of these guys out the way. The guys you hold on to are veteran voices that have won. You trade for guys that on the back end of their career, like what you were hoping from with Tony Parker. You didn't expect Tony Parker to retire that soon. You were hoping that he could impart some wisdom and give some game to some of these younger players.
And I thought he did.
He didn't have enough time. Like,
yeah. Well, in the season that he was here, I thought it was a better pickup than people had thought.
But some of those guys were fighting for roster space and fighting for time, so they kind of lose out. But you at brass tacks, you got to ask yourself if you're ready to hit the reset button. And the reset button is Oklahoma City. When they became OKC, like there's Kevin Durant come over from the Seattle Supersonics. Then you get Russell Westbrook. Then you get James Harden. Then you got Steven Adams. Like, you got pieces to build around. But those guys are so young. This is the best time for them to be bad. You let them be bad while they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. But you're at a place now with so much money that's just tied up in bad spaces that you suffer. And you're going to be middle of the road, can't get a good draft pick, middle of the road, can't make the playoffs. And you just live in what I like to call basketball purgatory.
So if we try to offload some of these contracts, Les, I feel like we're going to have to take on more bad contracts.
Right.
Clearly, to get a Nick Batum contract off.
Short of term. Like, I'll take a bad contract. It's somebody that will do it just to eat up that cap space. And they'll send us back a bad contract that's a shorter term contract.
If there's one young player that you would package in that deal, who would it be? Because for me, it would be Malik Monk. He hasn't showed me enough to want to keep him around and try to build around him. Defensively, he's a liability.
And they just picked up his player option, too.
I just feel like he's a liability defensively. Mm-hmm. He's hot and cold shooting. When he can shoot, man, I mean, he scores 20 and 19 minutes sometimes.
Easily. Yeah.
And then there's some days where he plays 20 minutes.
He's out there.
Yeah, and he scores 6 points.
Oh, so I'm going to say this. Pat and Parcel, we just picked up. You know, December 15th is the opening for trades.
Right.
So December 15th is the opening lot for trades. So if that's the case, I picked up his option. Let me get Malik Monk and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Let's go ahead and let's package them together. Let's add in them. You know, they want the younger pieces, but let's add in a Nicholas Batum or a Bismack Biyombo. They're young guys. I wouldn't mind getting a Hassan Whiteside here. Because Hassan Whiteside might be on the way out of Portland.
Like, yeah.
I'll take a guy with size that can rebound. We shoot outstanding. We shoot outstanding 3-point percentages. But the thing about it is we become paltry on the offensive rebounding end. Anybody that can get us extra shots. Like that year Dwight Howard was here. The reason he was so successful while he was here was the fact that we got a lot of shots. Like, that makes all the difference. When you get secondary shots and sometimes a third shot, you become harder to beat. So, me personally, we need some size, and we already space the floor so well. So, having one solid big man outside of Zeller, I think, is our next move.
Yeah, our front court has struggled a lot this year.
And you're big on the Andre Drummond move.
Yeah, so either Andre Drummond, I like Steven Adams. I think there's a couple guys that I would love for us to get in here to just change the culture. I want a tough, hard-nosed guy in here. Hassan Whiteside, he can rebound, and he loves to play against the Hornets.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you said Dwight Howard, the reason why he was so successful here is because we had nobody else to rebound.
Right.
Almost like Andre Drummond in Detroit.
Right.
He's the guy. Everybody clears out, and he gets the rebound. That's why he leads the league so much. Would we trade for somebody like a Drummond if we're going into a rebuild?
Honestly,
or do you think we just take on some bad contracts for a shorter period of time?
I think I think the easiest person out of the names that you just threw out, Bernie, to get would probably be Steven Adams. I think Steven Adams is a presence in the paint. OKC just seems like they're not contenders at all anymore in the West ever since Russ left and Chris Paul. Also, I'm a fan of Brook Lopez. I like Brook Lopez
really?
A lot.
He can stretch the floor.
But with Milwaukee being as successful as they are right now, I don't see Brook Lopez leaving. But he's a shooter. He's a 7-foot shooter.
He's a shooter.
He can shoot the ball. But I know Andre Drummond. There was a chance that we got him last year, the Hornets. But they offered Batum, Monk, and a draft pick, I believe, for Andre Drummond. And then I think the Pistons accepted it. And then the Hornets tried to package Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, they tried to throw Frank the Tank
in. Yeah, and that's when Detroit backed out. And that could have easily been a whole changing. You know, Kemba might still be here. But
no,
I agree.
Kemba wouldn't still be
here. But I agree. The front court has been, or the back court, excuse me, has been good. I'm a fan of Cody Zeller. He can stay on the team. I think right now with the rise of Biyombo, and I say rise just because he's having good games more consistently at this point in his career than he had last season or even earlier this season.
Yeah, as a homer.
The lone season in Toronto, the postseason he had, got him that contract.
It's definitely.
I know, but you're telling me that the last few weeks he hasn't been playing well with the Hornets?
He's been playing well compared
to... I've been saying.
No. I'm going to tell you what makes you a homer. He's not playing well. He's just playing well for Biz.
Yeah.
There's a difference. He's playing well compared to how bad he's been.
You remember how bad he was in the Bobcats,
Mackey?
And
when
you want to
package players,
like he's on his upside.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a great
point. Now, yes, he's had his struggle, but he's starting to find his footing in the paint. He's starting to find his way with the Hornets. This is what he's done the last few weeks for us. This is what he can do for you. You want to show that
like UPS.
Yeah,
nobody beats the Biz. What can Biz do for you?
Exactly. You want to show that, yes, he did struggle, but he's on the upside.
I got a question for you guys. Since you know OKC is trying to dump Chris Paul, are you guys willing to get into the Chris Paul
stuff? No, I don't think so.
That's another bad contract. He's going to make $40 million in his last year's contract. Get out of here.
You're going to sell tickets with Chris Paul.
I don't care.
You're going to fill up the arena with Chris
Paul. Chris Paul likes to hit people in the groin.
Paul and Devontae Graham is special. That could be special. You don't want to see Devontae Graham.
I like Devontae Graham on ball. I like Terry Rozier off ball. And Chris Paul's going to be the point. He's not going to be the shooting guard.
Right.
Devontae is so good at shooting the three, though, catch and shoot. I feel like he could work off
ball. Take him off the ball.
He could.
Take him off the ball. You don't want to see Chris Paul hit?
Huh? I mean, not for that contract.
Local
that contract is so bad.
I mean, he's worth that.
He's making double what Nick Batum makes.
He does quadruple what Nick Batum does.
They just shouldn't have backloaded that contract.
That's all.
That's bad for everybody.
You just see the Nick Batum contract just hurts your stomach.
No, it's horrible and it's so long. It's after next season, right? We have one more season on
it. He can opt into his, which he will. He'll opt into his player option next year.
He's
stupid not to.
You're turning no money.
It's
down.
Like Marvin opting into his $15 million this
year. Marvin looks outstanding in his suit on the sideline, too.
He's a good-looking guy.
He wears a good...
Devontae Graham has been a bright spot for the city of Charlotte, and I think that right now he is just making Hornets fans happy because a lot of people just thought the season was done.
Absolutely.
They thought it was done, but Devontae Graham is consistently putting up numbers, and now he's averaging 20. At this point in Kemba's career, Kemba was averaging 17. So, I mean, who knows? Devontae Graham may be the next Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Hornets. He already is.
Yeah, that's not a compliment.
No, yeah, my...
That's not a compliment.
We just disagree on everything I say.
No, that's good. Man. Kemba just really, how many playoff games you won with him?
But
I think
we won three.
More empty calories.
Three or four, maybe.
I know. Do you not? I just try to give context.
That's not context. Listen.
Kemba win playoff games, but also he's in the playoffs with Jeremy Lin as his backup, Cody Zeller, Batum.
How much do you love the regular season?
I mean, I watch it to pass the time.
Okay. Then how much do you love the playoffs?
I love the playoffs.
How much do you love the finals?
I love the finals.
Do they give you rings for the regular season?
No, they do not.
Do they hang banners for the regular season?
No, they do not.
Well, then, damn it.
Well, then, is it Kemba's fault for the team not building around him, though?
Is Kemba's fault? Then score 40.
He dropped 60 against the 76ers
Don't give it to me once. I needed 60 every night.
No.
Whatever you got to do to get us over the hump, I need it from you you the star.
He gave us 60 and they lost.
All right, dude.
And Devontae Graham just hit big shot after big shot last
night. That's right.
He really
40
did.
Last night.
Every shot that came off his hands.
They won.
I'll take that
victory. In the last minute, it was just like
I'm Devontae bias, but I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
All right, so our last topic of the day. Les posed a great question. Who are some athletes that have let you down this year that you feel like should have had a better year?
I'm calling this one the Grinch that stole Christmas. This is Christmas time. What guy, what team, what person?
Oh, I know.
Well, who's a bust that lets you down this year?
All right, boys, I'm going to go ahead and steal the show here. I'm going to start with Saquon Barkley from the New York Giants. Saquon, bro, I drafted your first overall in my fantasy draft. And boy, have you let me down.
He was hurt.
They're going to kill Connor.
It's funny because Connor might be in the playoffs this week, and Saquon was so bad for him all year. I can't disagree with that.
I can't disagree. He didn't live up to it.
Is he a building block?
I put his...
Absolutely.
Yes. Just
yeah. Those, you know, calves are building blocks.
You know what's crazy? I put him...
Or thighs, I guess.
I put his this year with him and Odell Beckham Jr. as the most disappointing cases.
You took mine less.
And probably Baker Mayfield to some extent.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Baker's okay, but I hear the Cleveland Browns are ruining OBJ.
They are.
I hear he's got a sports hernia, and they're still making him play.
It's what bothers me is the fact that Baker threw his sports medicine staff
under the bus.
Like, you're going to get hurt. You have to go deal with these guys. These are the guys. Let me tell you something. When you go into that type of locker room, the guys that every NFL player are the closest with, Michael Jordan's best friend for the Bulls was his trainer, Tim Grover. And the trainer, when Magic Johnson first found out he got HIV, the trainer for the Lakers is the one who told him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not his doctor and his normal physician. He spent more time with that guy than he did with his wife. That guy sat next to him on the bus and on the plane. That's how special that is. That's crazy to me. Burn, who is your Grinch that stole Christmas?
First of all, Connor just told me that Saquon only has 3 touchdowns this year.
Really?
In 10 games.
That's pretty sad.
Oh, he's a building block. Oh.
Well, he's been injured
most of the year. Look at my guy, Mackie the Petty.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Hey, man, that's Petty Mac cheese over here, man.
My biggest letdown is a guy that's been in the news all damn year.
Okay.
And that's Antonio Brown.
Wow.
That's your biggest?
I was going to pick OBJ or Baker, but you guys took him. So here.
You probably didn't expect that, though.
Antonio Brown.
Because the Raiders have been good this year.
Exactly. And Antonio Brown could have added a lot to that. You saw the one game.
Been a playoff team.
The one game he played with New England. I mean, come on. He came in like 4 days earlier and put up 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's true.
The guy is transcendent. Like Les said, Antonio Brown with all the
headaches. That's a building block there, Mackie.
And at 31 years old, he's still able to do this.
Yeah. So he got about 5 more years of that.
Yeah. Antonio Brown is.
Keep him off Twitter.
Antonio Brown's been my biggest disappointment, just because of he's 31 years old. He was in the prime of his career, and he just threw it all away over some crazy,
and
crazy
Colin's
stuff.
And Colin's chewing at the bit. What you finna say, Colin?
I was going to ask if we were going to go two around and give two of the biggest disappointments.
Well, let me get mine first, so then we can do a second round. Mine's a whole team. They are winning, but I am more disappointed about them, and it's the L.A. Rams.
Whoa!
And I'm disappointed about them because, one, I would have thought that Todd Gurley would come off that amazing season last year and perform. And Todd Gurley, he hasn't been performing that well. And another reason, one of my least favorite players in the NFL, Jared Goff, he is one of the highest paid
quarterbacks. You killed Jared Goff, quarterback of the team.
He is one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. They did just get a big win against Seattle. I will say that.
Let me ask you this. You would kill to have him quarterback the Panthers right now.
Over Kyle Allen?
Yes.
Yes.
Bingo.
Yes, but also would I pay to have him over Kyle Allen for 4 years, $134 million, so where you can't throw more than 2 touchdown passes a game? Yes, and I ran out of breath. Y'all heard that. But no, the L.A. Rams have been my biggest letdown. Although they're in the NFC West, I don't think they're going to get past Seattle in the playoffs. I don't think they'll get past the 49ers in the playoffs. And they have Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, who's been dealing with an injury, Cooper Kupp, Todd Gurley, and then you have an offensive a great offensive head coach in Sean McVay, and the highest paid quarterback in Jared Goff. That's a team that should not be 8-5 right now.
That is a team that should not be 8-5. I give you that.
I kind of like that. You want to go two? Want to go around and give two?
Let's do. Let's give two.
I hadn't given mine yet.
Oh well, I thought you said OBJ.
No, those weren't my bust. Like I was just adding them in.
Oh, so you took Bernie's and it wasn't even yours?
I wasn't trying to steal Bernie's.
That's okay.
Don't make me feel like that.
I think Antonio Brown's a decent one to pick.
Antonio Brown was awesome.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Who you got, Les?
All right, I'm coming from a little bit of left field on you guys. The Grinch that stole Christmas to me, the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees.
And Connor's a huge Yankee fan,
I'm sorry to hear that, Cons. I'm so sorry to hear that, but I'm going to tell you why.
Don't be sorry for Connor. They just got Garrett Cole.
Since the days of George Steinbrenner, they've always tried to buy World Series. And in the last 20 years, that just hasn't been the case. That just hadn't been the case. I know the ghost of Derek Jeter right now is probably somewhere choking the life out of a less blessed doll. And I want to tell him, DJ, I'm so sorry, but the fact that the ungodly amounts of money that they are spending out here in free agency this year, I just can't see them winning the Super Bowl. I just can't see him winning the World Series.
I don't think they'll win the Super Bowl either.
I can't see him. I got football in the brain. Me and Mackie would just fight. I just can't see him using. I can't see him using these pieces to win a World Series. I just can't see him using the worst winning World Series.
Using what pieces?
I can't.
They went out and signed one player so far.
Listen,
they're about to trade for closers.
They brought
for a closer, but no, that's the player that they signed is not a guy that I feel. Do you would you compare? Would you say he's better than CeCe Sabathia was in his prime?
Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. Do you think Gerrit Cole was better than CeCe Sabathia was
right now
in his prime? Because they got CeCe in his prime.
Yeah, but CeCe, that's a different type of man.
Right.
Wait, but
CeCe deserves that kind of money.
CeCe's gone now. What do you mean, Gerrit Cole? Dude, Gerrit Cole's a solid ace.
I agree with
name
you.
Name one better pitcher in baseball right now than Gerrit Cole.
You're going to pay Gerrit Cole $35 million.
Let's not go around the
if
second
I
time.
I had
$35
million to give that man every year and I could keep 100
for 20
bucks
days?
Yes.
He only going to do it to you for 20 days.
Yeah, but you know how much money and revenue the Yankees are going to make once Gerrit Cole wins that World Series with the New York Yankees?
Okay, now if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. It's no way that guy gets you over the hump and cross the line.
We're going to have a Merry Christmas.
All right, we're going to find out.
We're going to have a great October, too.
Do you guys think the Yankees win a World Series this year?
Yeah, I do, Les, actually.
The biggest
issue they had last year, Les, was starting pitching.
Don't drink this Kool-Aid.
Les.
It's coming around.
I think they need one more starter in their rotation, potentially. And I think that they will be the favorites. I mean, what's Houston going to do? Houston is about to get blown up.
Entry
like big time.
Houston has to get blown up.
Especially
with that scandal.
For me, New York is the favorite now. Steven Strasburg is still
the favorite every year.
Yeah, but listen, I really think this year that they can win a World Series.
Strasburg
with as
got
much
the money.
Talent
the
as they have.
Strasburg just got the money this week too, right?
Yeah, do you think Strasburg Rendon is worth one less million than Gerrit Cole? Because I would rather have Gerrit Cole for $1 million.
I'd pay an extra million for Gerrit Cole,
right?
Just because of the elbow and the shoulder surgery that Strasburg went through.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole is making what, $300 million? Strasburg's making $275 million.
But Strasburg's for two less years.
Rendon just signed a huge one.
Strasburg is for two less years.
But he's making like a little less than a million less
like
than
a
Gerrit Cole
less a year.
I think it was a pretty good podcast today, guys.
I think it was. Wait, I thought Rendon signed with the Dodgers.
No, Rendon, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw that. I could have swore I read Dodgers on the update yesterday.
And now Mike Trout's got another piece.
Because they said that the Dodgers were sad. Like, the Dodgers was crushed.
Gotcha.
They missed out on two big free agents now. And
they had, I don't know if y'all checked that out on Fox Sports on the website. They had a broken Dodger sign, like a cracked Dodger sign, like we swing out, we miss big, we strike out big on our two biggest free agent targets.
Was one of them Gerrit Cole, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they offered him right around 300.
And it was like,
Angels
meh.
Are right below.
Meh.
Dang.
That's what it, meh.
It's okay. I'm not upset to see the Dodgers not playing well.
Well, real quick, before we end the show.
Or not getting free agents.
Before we end the show, this is just going to be a weird question.
Let's do it.
Do you think there is any way the Panthers can beat Seattle this weekend?
No.
I think they can.
No. I think Seattle coming off a bad loss is going to stomp the absolute crap out of us.
But it's being
and I'm not trying to be a bad person here.
No, but it's being the first podcast. I'm just going to go ahead and forewarn you guys. I can't wait to hear y'all debate about it on Saturday. Like, I can't. I'm jacked up
Sunday.
To see how to. No, we're going to. Saturday, we're going to touch everything Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday, we're going to touch it. Like, it's going to be. And you got to. You're
making me uncomfortable saying stuff like that, Les.
I can't wait to see you guys. I can't wait to see you guys. This weekend is going to be a hell of a slate of shows, and we're going to get it done.
True. I mean, like any game, I think the Panthers can win. I don't think they will, though.
Right. He's a homer. I've been calling him a homer all episode. He's kicked me four times with these cowboy boots on. He's kicked me four times. Every time I say something, I'm so sorry, Les. Bang. Oh, shins.
I'm just saying, literally any game, the Panthers, I think, play up to their opponent, and they play down to them. But that's just me.
Thank you guys for joining us on first episode of Rookies Reloaded. We're going to try to do this every week to get you guys some more content since we only have an hour on the weekends.
That's right.
But thanks for joining us and come back next week.
Peace out, everybody.